All right, well, we're going to be wrapping up Daniel this month. Don't clap about that. We're wrapping up Daniel this month. I know we've been taking our time. This morning, I want to talk to you about the word hope. The word hope. You know, every chapter as we've gone through this series have been ascribed a word. The overall series has been Adventures in Faith, Living a Life of Greatness. How do we as followers of God live a life of greatness? And by greatness, we mean that when we see God one day, he simply says, good job. Well done, my good and faithful servant. A great life is living a life to the fulfillment of what God has in store for you, what God's plan is for your life. Whatever God's purpose is for you, what God's plan is for you, discover it, live it to the fullest. That's the greatest joy. That's the greatest life that there is possible. And so each chapter, we've been describing a different word. We looked at the word courage. We looked at the word influence. In order to live a life of greatness, I have to have a life of courage because it's not easy to follow Jesus every day. A life of influence, a life of conviction. I've got to have some things that I stand upon. No matter what the world tells me, there are some things that I know to be true. We've been talking about humility. We've been talking about these great words of reverence and perseverance and vision and trust. And this morning, purpose, this morning we're wrapping up our words for Daniel with the word hope. That living a life of hope. Daniel chapter 10, 11, and 12 are the final vision that Daniel gets about the future. And what he discovers in that vision is that God has everything laid out in the future and he's in control and it's a good future. So there's always hope. No matter what you're going through in your life, whether it's the lowest of lows, whether it's this long-standing problem, God is a God of hope because he has the future in his hands and he loves you and he's a good God, so we can always hope in him. We can always hope in him. But this morning I want to talk about prayer again. You know, Daniel is getting his final vision and it's super complicated. And Daniel is struggling to understand what God is telling him. And we're going to find this morning in Daniel chapter 10 that God delays in answering Daniel's prayer. Part of the hope that we have to have is that when we are praying about something and God hasn't yet answered that prayer, we need to hold on to hope that someday he's going to answer it. And it might be today, it might be tomorrow, it might be next month, it might be next year, it might be not until we get to heaven, but one day he's going to answer prayer. And this morning, I want to talk about the three reasons why God sometimes delays answering our prayers. Why is it that sometimes when we pray about something, God answers it quickly, and sometimes we pray about it again and again and again and again, and God does not seem to either be listening or he doesn't seem to be caring, or maybe we're praying the wrong thing, but God is delaying in answering our prayer. I'm going to show you this morning where I think that God, for one of three reasons, will delay in answering your prayer. We saw about a month ago in chapter 9 where sometimes God's answer to our prayers is no. And there's a couple of reasons for that. But this morning I want to talk to you about praying a good prayer, praying a right prayer, praying it with the right heart, but God still doesn't seem to answer it in our timeline or in the time frame that we think it needs to be answered. And why does God do that? Why does God do that? Daniel gets his final vision. In chapter 10, so if you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, let's go to Daniel chapter 10. And in verse 1, Daniel kind of gives a summary statement about chapter 10, 11, and 12. He says there in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. And the message was first true, and it was one of great, what's the word there? Conflict or struggled. This vision that he's going to get about the future pertains to a huge conflict that's coming. But he understood the message, Daniel, and had an understanding of the vision. So it's complicated, but Daniel gets it. And what we're going to find is in chapter 10, Daniel is prepared by God to receive the vision. The vision itself comes in chapter 11 and 12. We'll see that next time. But we're going to see this morning that sometimes God has to prepare people, watch this, prepare people to get an answer to your prayers. One of the reasons why God delays in answering my prayers and your prayers is because he has to prepare us to receive the answer to our prayer. For whatever reason, we're not quite ready to receive the answer to that prayer. So God's going to do something. We're also going to see that, second of all, the reason why God delays is because there is something going on in the spiritual world that God has to take care of to answer your prayer. And so while you're praying, something is taking place in the spiritual world that has to be resolved before your prayer is answered. And then sometimes, number three, the reason God delays in answering my prayer is simply because in God's planned out future for my life, it's not time yet to answer that prayer. That God has a future laid out for me and a timeline of that future. And when I'm praying for this prayer to be answered, God can see down the script of my life and see that it's not yet time to answer the prayer because God's going to be doing some other things. We'll talk about that in a minute. So there's the three reasons in a nutshell. The why does God delay in answering my prayer? Number one, because he's preparing me for the answered prayer. Number two, something's going on in the spirit world. Or number three, it's not the best time yet to answer my prayer. Let's look at this. In Daniel chapter 1, the first thing that we notice is Daniel, again, is in this intense 3-week prayer time. We saw it in chapter 9, and we see there in verse 2. It says, in those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire what? 3 entire weeks. And here's how we did it. I did not eat any tasty food, so he didn't have any Rocky Road ice cream, okay? Nor did any meat or wine enter my mouth. Now, meat was the symbol of feasting and abundance. Wine was the symbol of celebration. And tasty food was like the delicacies of a party. Daniel said, you know what? I am going to God with my request and to show and demonstrate the intensity and the mourning that my heart is going through. God, I need you to answer this. And the prayer was all about his people. God, what are you going to do with your people? We're in captivity. When are you going to get us out? How are you going to do it? And so he decided to set aside parties. He decided to set aside feasting. He decided to set aside celebrations so that he could focus on this time of prayer with God. He also tells us there in verse 3, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed. And he didn't put any ointment on his hair to look good or any ointment on his body to smell good. So if you would have seen Daniel during these 3 weeks, he would have looked a little disheveled. He would have had that BO smell to him. Okay? He's setting all that aside. Why? Because he is asking God for a super powerful answer to his prayer. And God is delaying. You'll notice here it says that Daniel was doing this for 3 weeks. Wow, what we see in Daniel is this pattern of intensity and endurance. I wonder if I compared my prayer life to Daniel's prayer life, if there would be in the seasons of my prayer life this intensity and this endurance. It's not that hard to set aside all those things to get intense with God for a day or an hour, but could I do it for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? Have you ever been so burdened by something going on in your life that you said, I'm setting all this stuff aside and I'm just going intensely into the throne room of God and I'm going to do it day after day until he brings an answer? That's impressive of Daniel. And we've seen that Daniel has been a man of prayer all throughout this book. We also see what's interesting is the word mourning there is, it's actually written in the framework of the word that means grieving, this intense ritual that he's going through. This is a super intense time. And I want you to go to the right a little bit. Keep your finger there in Daniel, and let's go to the right. Let's go to the New Testament, if you would, of several books to the right, to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 is a story that Jesus gives to us. It's a short story. It's called a parable. Now, if you remember what a parable is an earthly story with a spiritual truth. So it's not a true story. It's a story that Jesus makes up sometimes so that he can tell an earthly story with a spiritual truth. And in Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells a story. It's found in Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 2. Jesus said, "In a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to the judge. And she kept saying to him, 'Give me legal protection for my opponent. Give me justice,' in other words." Verse 4, "For a while he was unwilling, but afterwards he said to himself, 'Wow, even though I don't fear God and I don't respect man, yet because this widow," what? "Bothers me. She's bugging me. I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, she will be continually coming. She will," what? "Wear me out." And then Jesus says this. "And the Lord said," verse 6, "hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry out to him day and night?" Well, why did Jesus tell the story? There's a judge. This widow keeps coming to him, bugging him. Justice, God, justice. Judge, give me justice. And he's like, "I don't care about you. I don't care about your God. But man, you are just bugging me to death. And so I'm going to give you what you want because you keep bothering me about it." Let's go back to verse 1 and let's see why Jesus told this story. Luke 18, verse 1. "Now, Jesus was telling them a parable," and here's why, "to show that at all times they ought to," what? "They ought to pray. And not to lose heart." In other words, sometimes God delays in answering my prayer because he's teaching me how to be a better prayer. God wants to teach me how to be an effective prayer. And the story goes, if God is represented by the judge, then sometimes God doesn't always answer our prayer on the merits of the request, but he wants me to learn not to lose heart in praying. So just as the widow kept bugging the judge, God's trying to teach us that if he doesn't answer your prayer on the first day, keep asking. Keep asking, keep asking. A week goes by, keep asking. A month goes by, keep asking. Why? Because God is preparing me to be a better prayer, and he's using my prayer times to do that. Jesus is trying to teach his followers to, verse 1 tells us, that they ought to pray at all times and not lose heart. Why? Because it's so easy for me, if God doesn't answer my prayers within 48 hours, I give up. I mean, isn't that our tendency? If God doesn't answer my prayer about a job, if God doesn't answer your prayer about this or that, we tend to have the propensity to give up easy in our prayer life. And so sometimes God waits to answer our prayers to teach us how to be better prayers and to prepare us. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 10. We're going to find in Daniel chapter 10 that prayers are heard immediately, but sometimes delayed in being answered. Part of our following of God, part of our journey, is that we've got to understand that your prayers, the right prayers with the right heart, are heard immediately by God, but sometimes they're delayed. And that's just part of our journey. And the reason they're delayed, first of all, is because God wants me to learn how to be a better prayer. The second reason is found in verses 4 down to verse 14. What happens in verse 4 back in Daniel chapter 10 is that Daniel gets an angelic messenger visit. Let's look at verse 4. It says, on the 24th day of the first month, while I was on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with the belt of pure gold of Uphaz, or Uphaz, whatever that is, or however you say that. His body, verse 6, was also like beryl, and his face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches, his arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his voice, words like the sound of a tumult. Now you'll notice the word like in there. He didn't have bronze, all this. He didn't have flaming torches, but this is what it was like. This was an incredible angel that was appearing to Daniel. He was a brilliant angel. And in verse 7, it says, now I, Daniel, I alone saw the vision of the angel, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. In other words, the group of people that Daniel was with down by the riverbank, when the angel appeared, Daniel saw the angel. The rest of the men that were with him didn't see it, but they knew something really super spiritually dynamic. The spirit world has somehow invaded this space, and it scared them to death, and they went and hid themselves. Have you ever had an experience where you've been in the presence of like some spiritual force and the hair on the back of your neck starts to stand up and you just get this feeling like, wow, there's another dimension in the room? You can't see it, but you can sure sense it. That's what Daniel's men discovered. Verse 8, but I was left alone and saw this great vision, yet no strength was left in me, for my natural color turned to deathly pallor, and I retained no strength. But I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, and my face to the ground. Daniel gets an angelic visit, and he gets an exclusive interview. Why was Daniel's prayer delayed for 3 weeks? This is so good. Daniel's prayer is delayed. Verse 10, then behold, a hand touched me and sent me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I am about to tell you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken these words, I stood up trembling. I want you to notice the progression. Verse 9, I'm on my face to the ground. Verse 10, I'm on my hands and knees. Verse 11, I'm standing there trembling. Verse 12, then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and humbling yourself before your God, your words were what? They were heard. From the very first day that Daniel started to pray, the question in this whole context, why was it delayed for 3 weeks, is not because God didn't hear. God heard his prayer on the very first day, it says. It says, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. So the angel is telling Daniel, Daniel, when you first started praying this, God heard you and he dispatched me and I was sent to come answer your prayer on day one. Now let's look at verse 13. It says there, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. How long is 21 days? 3 weeks. Daniel's been praying for 3 weeks for no answer. And the angel says, I was dispatched on day number one, but the kingdom of Persia has been withholding me for 21 days. That's why your prayer has not been answered until now. Verse 13, then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. The first thing that we notice here is that there is unseen spiritual warfare going on. You've got to understand the story. Daniel is on earth. He's in Babylon. He's praying. God hears his prayer the very first day. God dispatches this angel. This angel is on his way in the spirit world to come down and give Daniel an answer. And it says that the kingdom of Persia began to fight with the devil and wouldn't let him come to Daniel. And that battle in the spiritual world took place for 21 days until finally Michael, one of the chief angel princes, came and freed the angel so that he could be free from the kingdom of Persia to come and give Daniel his answer. Isn't that crazy? Now, if we had time to unpackage this, we would find out that the kingdom of Persia is a reference to Satan and his associates. The king of Persia in the Bible is another descriptive term for the devil. And so what we get this insight into in this particular verse is that sometimes when we pray, God starts to answer our prayers and a spiritual battle takes place. And in this case, the angel tries to come to Daniel, but the devil and his associates are stopping him in the spirit world. And the angel has to send a request to Michael, God's archangel, to come and join the spiritual battle to free the angel and allow him to come down and give Daniel the answer. The first reason why God delays our prayer sometimes is because he's preparing us to be better prayers. The second reason is because our prayers are stirring up things in the spiritual world. And the devil doesn't like it. When you pray for somebody to give their heart to Jesus, that is a huge spiritual victory in their life, and the devil doesn't like it. When you're asking people to change from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of Jesus, the devil doesn't like it. When you're trying to pray about you becoming a more deeply devoted follower of Jesus, the devil doesn't like it. And you are stirring up things in the spiritual world. It's interesting. If we go back to chapter 9, just for 1 minute. Chapter 9 and verse 24. When Daniel is given the vision of the 77s of time, within these 490 years, these six things are going to take place. In verse 24, it gives us the list of those six things that are going to take place. And the first one on the list, it says in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the what? The transgression. That word transgression is defined as a contest for ownership. That there is a cosmic battle going on over who gets to own the human race. Is it going to be God? Or is it going to be the devil and his associates? And when Daniel prayed this prayer about God's people and about God's city, and the revelation was going to come about the future victory of God's people, there was a contest of who was going to own the future of Israel's history. And so the devil dispersed the princes of the kingdom of Persia so that this message, this answer could not be brought to Daniel. Because if this message was revealed that God wins in the end, it would shatter the ownership of humanity's future. You get that? So sometimes when we pray and God delays, it's because what you're praying for is sending a stir in the spiritual kingdom. Chapter 10. Unseen spiritual warfare. And then we see there in verse 14. It says, now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future. So chapter 11 and chapter 12 are a vision about Israel's future that hasn't yet happened. We're going to get into that next time. Finally, we see in this chapter, as we wrap it up this morning, we see that Daniel is prepared to hear the message. Again, Daniel has to be prepared to receive an answer to his prayer. Just like we have to be sometimes prepared to receive an answer to our prayer, so the prayer answer is delayed. So that's taking place in Daniel's life. Let's look at verse 15. It says, "Now when he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And behold, one who resembled a human being was touching my lips. And I opened my mouth and I spoke and I said to him who was standing before me, 'Oh my Lord, as a result of the vision, anguish has come upon me and I have retained no strength. For how can such a servant of my Lord talk with such as one my Lord? As for me, there remains just now no strength in me, nor has any breath been left in me.'" He's saying, "God or messenger, this is exhausting. You are obviously an angelic being," and he's calling him Lord, small L Lord. "I don't know how I'm even supposed to talk to you, but when you come into my presence after 3 weeks of mourning, I'm just completely at my physical limits. I'm at my end. I'm exhausted." Verse 18. Then it says, "Then this one with human appearance touched me again and strengthened me, and he said, 'Oh, man of high esteem, do not be afraid. Peace be with you, and take courage and be courageous.'" Now, as soon as he spoke to me, I received strength and said, may my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me." In other words, I'm ready for the answer. Then he said to me, do you not understand why I came to you? But I shall now return to fight against the prince of Persia. For I am going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come. However, I will tell you what is inscribed in the writings of truth." Now, if you don't like to underline phrases in your Bible, you want to underline that phrase in verse 21. It says, "I am going to tell you what is inscribed in the writing of truth." We'll get to that in just a second. But what we see, first of all, is this progressive strengthening, multiple touches. We saw in verse 9, his face was to the ground. Verse 10, he was on his hands and knees. Verse 11, he stood up. What this should communicate to us as readers is that whatever strength you need until God answers your prayer, God's going to give you that strength. God might delay in answering your prayer, but what you need in the process, God's going to give to you. He never lets Daniel go full on out of steam. Daniel was so distraught, he's on his face, and the angel lifts him up. He's so distraught, and he's on his hands and knees, and the angel tells him to get up. He's standing there trembling, and then he is weak. He says, "I'm done. My breath is empty." And time and again, the angel touches him and strengthens him until God brings the answer. I want to use that as an encouragement to you that have been praying for a long time about something in your life, and you think, "I just can't keep going. This more month and money thing doesn't work. I've got to get a job. I've got to get some healing. I've got to get my relationship restored. Everything in my life is falling apart. I can't make it another day. God isn't answering my prayer." Let me encourage you. God is going to give you what you need to make it until the time he answers your prayer. Amen? You're going to get through. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. God may be delaying his answer to your prayer, number one, because he's preparing you. But you're going to make it. God may be delaying his answer to your prayer because you've stirred up the spiritual world and there's a battle going on that you can't see, and God's got to solve that first. But you're going to make it. You're going to make it. The third thing that we notice in verse 21, why does God delay in answering my prayers? I love this. Verse 21, "However, I will tell you what is inscribed in the writing of truth. Yet there is no one who stands firmly with me against these forces except Michael, your prince." Writing of truth, inscribed in the writing of truth. This is the picture it should give to us in our mind. There is a scroll in heaven, and inscribed on that scroll is the future of Israel. And I want you to notice the words that the angel uses. He doesn't say, "God told me the future of Israel, and I've come to tell you, Daniel." No, the angel says, "I'm just going to roll out the scroll, and I'm going to read to you what is inscribed." In other words, the future of Israel is already planned out. It's already written down on paper. And God is the kind of God who can tell the end from the beginning, and he can write it on a scroll, and the angel doesn't have to go to God and say, God, what's your plan for the future of Israel? God says, well, here's the scroll. It's already predetermined. It's already predetermined. Keep your finger in Daniel, and let's go back just for a minute, for 30, 60 seconds, back to Isaiah, to the left, Isaiah chapter 46. Verses 9 and 10. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 9. Remember the former things past, for I am God. There's no one, there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me. Why? Verse 10. Declaring the end from the what? From the beginning. From the ancient times, things which have not yet been done. Saying, my purpose will be established. And I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Our God is the kind of God that way back at the beginning of time took out the pen and parchment and wrote exactly what's going to take place at the end of time. And he did it at the beginning. So all the angel does is unroll the scroll of the inscription of the writings of truth, and he tells Daniel the future of Israel. How does that help us? Reason number three why God delays. Reason number one, because he's preparing me for the answer. He wants to teach me to be a better prayer. Number two, I've stirred up something in the spiritual world that God has to settle first. And number three, as God has written out the future of your life, it's not time to answer your prayer. God is doing some things, and in the timeline of your life, he knows the best time to answer your prayer, and it's not the best time yet. He has that answer for you, but it's still written in the future. And God is doing some things to get ready to answer your prayer, but God loves everyone, and your prayer is going to impact the lives of other people. And so God, because he also loves them, has to get them prepared to answer your prayer. Let me give you an example. You're praying for a new job. God, I need a new job. God, I need a new job. Well, when you go to get that new job, when God answers your prayer, you're most likely replacing someone who already has that job. So what you're asking God to do is get them out and you in, right? But God loves that person too. And so God has to prepare that person for a new job so that you can have that job. And when that person leaves that position and go takes another position, somebody already has that position. So God has to help them find another position so that that person can take this position so that you can take that position. Does that make sense? So when God is delaying answering your prayer about having that job, it's because he may be way over here helping this person find a job so that this person can then take their job, so that this person can take that job so that you can have that job. Does that make sense? Because God is in the business of loving everybody. And so he's delayed in answering your prayer because he's doing all this work behind the scenes. And on the history laid out for your life, it's not yet time for you to take that job. In the right time, he'll open the door. He knows when the best time in your life is to answer that prayer. And in his writings of truth for your life, it's not yet time. Does it mean that God's not in control? He's in total control. Does it mean he doesn't have what's best for you? He's got totally what's best for you. But he's got to do these other things to get ready to answer your prayer. Daniel tells us that God has written out the writing of truth for the future of Israel. God's got it all. He's got it all taken care of. He's got it under control. So I can trust that if God isn't answering my prayer, and it's a right kind of prayer, it's a prayer that matches God's will for my life. It's a prayer that is not a selfish or self-focused prayer. It's a genuine prayer. It's a good prayer. God isn't answering it. Well, number one, it's because he wants to prepare you to be a better prayer. So don't give up. Number two, you've stirred something in the spiritual world. You're praying for those kids to come to Christ. You're praying for your neighbor to come to Jesus. You're praying for your kid to come back to the Lord. You're stirring up spiritual stuff. Number three, maybe it's just not time yet for your prayer to be answered. So let's trust him. Let's trust him. Reflecting on the writing of truth, God is a God like no other, who way back at the beginning has written out the future of your life. And what he has planned for you, it's going to come about. Just wait for his time. Wait for his answer. So, Daniel chapter 10. Good stuff. Daniel being prepared to receive the vision. So next time we'll look at the vision in chapter 11 and chapter 12. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you hear our prayers immediately. When we pray according to your will, when we pray with the right attitudes, when we pray with the right desires, that these prayers are not for my own selfishness, but Lord, they're for your glory. Thank you that you hear us. But Lord, sometimes you delay in answering us because you just want to train us to be better prayers. Or Lord, what we've asked for is stirring up the spiritual kingdom. Or number three, Lord, it's just not the right time. You're doing some stuff to prepare for the answer to my prayer, but it's not the right time. Thank you that we can trust you in any of these three circumstances. Thank you that you are a God who hears our prayers, who answers our prayers, and help us to never lose heart in praying. Show us how we can be more intense prayers. Help us to see how we can endure in prayer. And thank you that you're a God who hears us and answers us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, we're going to close a little bit differently this morning. Next week is Mother's Day, and there's a little video clip that we're going to show next week, but it's actually part two. And last week we showed part one. It's a fun little one. We want to honor moms next weekend. And so we're going to show part two of this clip, but we want to show part one as a reminder so that you'll understand next week. So we're going to close with a short little video, and then after the video, we're just going to say thanks for coming. Have a wonderful day. Let's close by watching this cute little video about Mother's Day next week.
Are you sure you got this?
Yeah. The twins are plugged in. Baby's asleep. How hard can this get?
We're men. Besides, I bumped into Chuck Norris at a Pizza Hut once. I think his power's rubbed off on me.
Get out of here. Go on, enjoy your mommy getaway weekend.
Oh, this weekend was a bad idea.
You remember what happened last time we watched the kids?
I'm not a pinata!
Get it off me! Get it off me!
Yeah, we're going to need help.
Warning, use of this product may alter your perception of reality. All right, everything looks the same. This is a joke.
Guys, it's like the Sahara in this cup. Can somebody hit me with some juice? And listen, pulp, no pulp, doesn't make a difference to me. You're the ones dealing with the diaper.
Mom goggles.
It's beautiful.
Okay, sweetie, I need you to sit on your bottom. Listen to Daddy. You sit on your bottom, okay? Daddy's gonna come get you. Don't move. Don't dance. Just sit on your bottom. See? Daddy's gonna come get you.
Whoa, 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 whoa! Don't you try to stop me.
Baby made a poopy. Yes, you did.
Where are your mom goggles?
They wouldn't fit over my hazmat suit.
Take this.
Oh, oh. So cute.
And then the little boy, he rocked his mommy. Oh, I love you. Forever. I like you, too.
I don't know how I do it.
Oh, well, you take it and you fold it from corner to corner.
No, I'm asking the question, how do moms do all of this? How do they handle it all?
Well, maybe they have goggles we don't know about.
It's as if God gave moms a special way of looking at things, you know? Okay, who taught you servanthood? Who modeled grace? Who gave you a taste of what God's love could look like?
My mom, Mr. T, and my mom.
Anyway, I just think God gave moms a special way of looking at things. Hey, honey.
Hey, how's it going at home?
It's all good. I guess you could say I'm starting to catch a glimpse of what your world looks like.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mama.
Hold on, your daughter wants to say something to you.
I did, Mama.
She says she misses you. And she realizes how important you are in her life. And she doesn't know how you do it. And she knows that she can't make it without you.
She said all that, huh?
I don't know if she said it. But it's what I wanted to say. And I should have said it a lot sooner. I thank God for you.
The twins.
It was nothing. We have to go, okay? Love you, Mommy.